So we'll do a quick overview. The Torah tells us you come to Eretz Yisrael and you have Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzar. You have grain or wine or oil, meaning you have one of the five grains or olives or grapes growing. And then you take the first fruits you bring up to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, that's Bikurim, to be given to the Kohen. And what you have, which is relevant to us today, is you take off Truma. First year after Bikurim, after you've harvested and you finish working with the fruits and they're ready, they're basically finished, they're ready for storage or for sale. So then you take off Truma, which according to the Torah is any amount, you give to the Kohen. Rabbinically, we say 1/50th is the medium amount. You give more or less, but 1/50th is the medium amount.
2%.
2%, okay, 1/50th. And you take off a tithe. After you've taken off Truma, you take off Maaser Rishon, you give to the Levi. That's not holy. The Levi could do whatever he wants with
so
it.
From the Truma, you take off?
Not from the Truma, from the remaining grain that you have.
From what's left, you take off?
You take off Maaser Rishon. You have 98% left. You take off a tithe. You take off a tenth to give the Levi. That's Maaser Rishon.
Of the total, of what was
of the 98%.
10% of the 98%.
Correct. And then we go with the Shemitah cycle, and we say, after you've taken off your first tenth, your 9.8% of the 98%, right? You have 98% of the global amount, your bruto amount. Let's say you had 100 kernels. Let's say you had 100 bushels. You took off two, you gave them Truma Gedolah. You're left with 98. You took off 9.8, you gave it to the Levi. That's Maaser Rishon. He could do whatever he wants with it. It's chulin. After you've taken off Maaser Rishon,
back to the guy that was doing it, right?
He could sell it back. He could do whatever he wants with it. So now he's you're left with 88.2, from that 88.2, you have to take off another 10%. So you're going to take off 8.82, and you're going to be left with 79.8.
This is every year, right?
Every year. Now the second 10% they take off, that second Maaser is either Maaser Sheni, which on the first, second, fourth, and fifth year has to be taken up and eaten in holiness in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim. Or on the third and sixth year, it's Maaser Ani. You have to give it to the poor. There is a distinction. Let's review what we just said. There's Truma Gedola, which is, let's say, 1/50th, 2%. There's Maaser Rishon going to the Levi, that's 10%. And then there's Maaser Sheni, which you can enjoy. You do whatever you want with it, but you have to eat it in purity in Jerusalem. And that's another 10%. As so we said, in the third and sixth year, it's Maaser Ani. That goes to the poor in the third and sixth year. Right now, we're in the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. So that's an overview. Let's add one more point. When you give, yes, when you give next year Shemitah, this is the sixth year, when you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, so then he has to take off 10% from what he's received and give the Kohen. He has to take off Truma. Just like I, the owner of the field, have to take off Truma when the Levi receives his 10%. Over there, the Torah tells him how much he has to take off, a tenth of that tenth. So he has to give one out of ten, one out of his ten, to the Kohen, and that's Truma's Maaser. Now, there is a distinction between Truma and Maaser. Truma is holy. So it's not only a question that monetarily I owe this to the Kohanim. I owe it to the tribe of Kohanim. I owe, let's say, the Truma to the tribe of Kohanim. I owe Maaser to the tribe of Levites. There's a monetary issue between us. There's also a holiness issue here. If you eat fruits that have not had their Truma removed from them, that's punishable with the death penalty at the hands of heaven. Misa b'dei shamayim. So Tevel, fruit that has not had Truma removed from it, is Aser. It's a Aser, and it's Misa b'dei shamayim.
Wait, but a coin can eat it, though.
Slowly. No. Kohen is also Misa B'dei Shamayim. Kohen can't eat Tevel either.
I mean the Truma.
Okay. After I've taken off Truma, then a Kohen who's pure may eat it. So before I take off Truma, there's an Iser, Chayav Misa. What about Maaser Rishon? Meaning we said Maaser goes to the Levi and he can do whatever he wants with it. He only has to take off a tithe from that and give to the Kohen. So there, people assumed, if I don't give my Maaser to the Levi, I'm okay, I'm clean. A tenth of that tenth should have been Truma. But so long as I didn't take off the first tenth and make it into Meiser, so that Truma isn't relevant yet. And that was a mistake. Technically, that's also punishable by death. But people didn't realize that. So you had a situation where people didn't mind giving Truma. I don't care to give the coin a little bit of my grain. But no one wanted to give off Meiser, to take off 10% and give the Levi. And people didn't even realize that within that Meiser was an Iser Chiyuv Misa, because a tenth of that Meiser is also Truma. It's Truma's Meiser. So this was a rampant problem in the time of the Second Temple. But that's just introductory. Atkan, we're all together? So that's part one. So we have an overview, Truma, Meiser Rishon, Truma's Meiser. The Levi takes off the Truma's Meiser from the Meiser Rishon, and then either Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani. So far, so good?
Just on Meiser Sheni, it says first, second, fourth, and fifth years, and it goes to who?
The Levi. Meiser Sheni, I eat. The owner eats in Yerushalayim in holiness. He has to be pure when he eats it. He, his family, whoever he wants. He could give it to the poor. He could do whatever he wants with it. So long as it's eaten in Yerushalayim in holiness. So far, we're all okay? Okay. Let's broaden our knowledge a little bit. The Torah says, Dagon Tirosh Yitzhar, and we learn from that a klalu pratu klal, that you have to take of Truma and Meiser, not only from Dagon Tirosh Yitzhar, but all seven species. You have to take off from pomegranates as well, and dates as well. And there's a machlokas, Rambam Rashi, is it Doraisa for everything else but Dagon Tirosh Yitzhar? Are all seven species Doraisa or not? So that's a basic machlokas. What about other fruits and what about vegetables? So there we say it's Drabanan. What about today? The land of Israel was exiled for so many years, now we're back. What level of holiness does the land have? Is it obligatory to take off Trumos and Maestros? Is it biblical or rabbinic? So that's a machlokas. It's a machlokas Tanaim. It's a machlokas Amoram. It's a machlokas Rishonim. And in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah tells us there are those who say it's Doraisa even today. But we're no egg, that's Drabanan.
The Doraisa for everything, or just the Dagon Tirosh Yitzhar?
Same machlokas. Rambam Rashi would apply here. Either all seven species or Dagon Tirosh Yitzhar.
All seven, an apple tree.
Right.
An apple tree always going to be Drabanan?
It would seem that way. It would seem that way. No, now,
Doraisa.
What?
You could find a sheet that says Doraisa.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, if you say that the Kedusha of the Arts is Doraisa, and all the other fruits somehow have a Doraisa.
I don't think so. I think even the Rambam is only Shivas Aminim. I think that. I would want to look it up, but as far as I remember, not. We have an interesting thing with regards to the mitzvos of Truma and Meiser, even if we go like. We're accustomed to going today and we say it's Drabanan. We're very stringent with them. We're more stringent than other Drabanans. We know earlier tonight we discussed Safik Brachos Nahakel. When it comes to blessings on food, when in doubt, we're lenient. We have many issues that are Drabanan where we're lenient. This is one issue that's a Drabanan where we're very stringent. Not all Drabanans are created equal. You find that Tosfos says, maybe there's no mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael today because it's so hard to keep these mitzvahs. People might end up eating food without taking off trumas and maestros, and it's very hard to be on top of this. That's a very hard thing to swallow. Such a big mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to say, because maybe I won't take off trumas and maestros, which are only drabanan today, for that you don't come here? It blows the mind. So Tosa says it in Melasot. And even without that Tosas, you see that Chazal, even in the days of the Talmud, when it was also rabbinic, meaning if it's rabbinic today, it was rabbinic there, they still made a whole bunch of decrees, including Demai, where they said, Tosas and the end of Ksubos. That's a good question. But let's go back here for a second. We have a concept, we have a whole tractate called Tractate Demai. We mentioned earlier that people weren't careful to take off Meiser Rishon. So what happened was Rav Yochanan, when he was Kohen Gadol, he started checking out what's going on in Israel. This goes back to the middle of the Second Temple period. And they started realizing that there are many people who are not taking off Meiser Rishon. So there are two issues with that. There's a monetary issue and there's a prohibitive issue. Meaning, monetarily, the Levites were losing out. They were owed that food, and they weren't getting it. So if I buy food from a regular farmer, maybe part of that crop belongs to the Levite. That's a monetary issue. Maybe he's selling me food that he technically owed the Levite. So when it comes to monetary issues, we have a rule, ha-motzi mechavero alav ha-raya. It's a Levite's problem. If he could prove that part of this is owned by his tribe, by the Levites, I'll give him the miser. So monetarily, we're not bothered. Meaning, even though it's a real problem, that people weren't giving the miser to the Levites, I don't have to go and give it to them. That's their problem. There's a monetary issue here. Maybe they're being robbed. Not maybe. Probably they're being robbed. I don't have to worry about that. So I don't have to give miser to the Levi because we just said that that's a monetary issue. In a second, we'll discuss the prohibitive issue. Just a second. Yeah.
The argument that I'm going to make over Ryan is not a real argument. Really, it's just the Kadosh Rabban that they said we don't have to give it to the Levi because it's obvious that a fellow grew crop of wheat here in Eretz Yisrael and he's Jewish and was done right, that he should give a tenth to the Levi.
For sure. But that's not my problem. I'm the purchaser. I don't have to worry about whether he paid his taxes or not. I come to a store and I buy. So maybe the government will come back and say, you know, this store didn't pay their taxes. That's their problem versus the store. It's not my issue.
So Levim should just hit up the store, not right. The purchasers.
Right, but there weren't too many Levim around. And Levim were a dying breed, and the Levim were problematic, whatever. I'm a descendant of a Levi, but whatever. Because they didn't come up with Ezra, so Ezra taxed them, whatever. Let's continue for a second. Yeah.
So the argument of, let's see, Me'echaber Alav Araya, it sounds like then you can buy like goods that might be stolen, you suspect maybe they're stolen, and it's not my problem that the guy who's selling it to me either stole them or bought them from somebody who stole them.
Let's get back to that in a second, okay? It's a good question. We didn't finish this point, okay? When we finish, I think we'll have answered it. Okay?
I saw something in the whole thing when you're saying that it's not between the Levi and the owner or whatever. You have a lot of people that they only want to sell their goods in cash because they don't have a paper trail.
Wait. Okay. Let's finish the story of Dmai, and if there will be questions, we'll try to discuss them. So what's our real issue? Our real issue is the Trumas Meiser. Truma Gedola, the average person gave. Meiser Rishon, we'll get back to in a second. My big problem is that within that Meiser Rishon, there's a tenth of that tenth that's supposed to go to the Levi. So my real issue is 1%. So when I approach a pile of grain that I'm going to go and buy from someone else, my problem is the Truma Gedola, chances are he gave in the days of the Second Temple and the Talmud. My real problem is that 1%, the Trumas Meiser. So Chazal said, Takana, here's what you do. Every time you buy crops from an Am Aretz, from someone who doesn't have a Hechsher, he hasn't been certified as trustworthy, you have to take off Meiser Rishon and Trumas Meiser. The Meiser Rishon you don't give the Levite, because who says you owe it to him? You know, prove it, I'll give it to you. The Trumas Meiser you do give to the Kohen. So we end up with this scenario where whenever you're buying crops from an Am Aretz, you take off 1%. You take off the 10%, and from that 10%, you take off 10%. You end up with 1%, right? And that you give to the to the Kohen. That's a Trumas Meiser.
Has it done that, or can you say, I'll just take off 1% of what I have?
No. It only has a Shem Trumas Meiser if you took off Meiser Rishon first, and from that you took off Trumas Meiser, and you're not allowed to eat Tevel that didn't have Meiser Rishon taken off from it either. Meaning, if we're suspecting they weren't Mafresh Meiser Rishon, so I have to be Mafresh Meiser Rishon. Once I designated this as Meiser Rishon, so it's no longer Tevel for Meiser Rishon. Technically, monetarily, is it owed to the Levite? Maybe, but we said Meiser Rishon isn't holy. So there's a monetary issue here. Maybe it's owed to the Levite. Step two, once I have Meiser Rishon, I can take a tenth of that and make it into Trumas Meiser. So far, so good. We're all together? Okay. Now, here's the bombshell that really helps you guys, but puts us a little bit in a bind. When Yohanan Kohen Gadol checked out what was going on, most people were Mafresh, Trumos, and Maestros. The average Am Aretz was good. The problem was that it wasn't a negligible bunch that wasn't. It wasn't like you'd say, it's one in 10,000, I don't have to worry about it. it was common enough that the rabbis weren't comfortable by it. Meaning, if you had a situation where every time you go to buy from a store, you have to wonder, hey, was he mafresh or not? People aren't trustworthy. I don't need a special takana of demai. Then I have a problem. I'm not allowed to eat something that might not be kosher. I don't need the rabbis to make that a new institution. I can't eat it because maybe it's not kosher. I can't go into a butcher shop and say, gee, I think it looks good to me. You can't do that. You can't go and have a, you know, they're selling you hot dogs with cheese on top. So you'll say,
they're both kosher separately.
It's the cheese is kosher, and the hot dogs are either soy dogs or chicken. Chicken is only rabbinically prohibited with the cheese. So, gee, let me enjoy it. I can't tell the difference anyways. It's probably okay. You can't do that. You don't know if it's kosher. You can't eat it. So why did the rabbis have to make a special institution of demai? Because rov ame aretz me'asrin. In the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the majority were kosher. They were taking off ma'aser. It just became prevalent enough that he had to make this takana. So because of the takana, it became ma'aser. Really, midoraisa, midrabanan, it was mutar. Along comes the takana of demai and says, no, 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 don't do it. So now you'll ask me, wait a second, if I go to a store, most people pay their taxes. Most people don't have stolen bikes. Do I have to think his bikes are stolen? No. Even here, I wouldn't be choshesh. It's only a special takana drabanan. They told me I want you to be choshesh because it's a mit hamotzi. It's prevalent. It's too prevalent. They didn't want us to go off. Now, because, in fact, there's no real chashash, because technically you could have ignored it and let people go away eating their fruits comfortably, so we have all kinds of kulos in demai. The rabbi said the poor aren't mafresh demai. Let them enjoy it as is. All kinds of leniencies, Chazal said. If you're a poor person and you went to the shuk and you bought grains, don't be mafresh demai. You're allowed to eat it as is. So that's because it was a rabbinic institution. And so when the rabbis made the institution, they implemented many kulos.
Meaning that if you buy it from the shuk and you assume that they did take off trumot,
you could assume. Because technically without the takana of demai, you would be kosher assuming that. So when they said, we want you to be more stringent.
Because they found that most people were keeping
correct. Correct. So that's why your questions are really answered, because there wasn't a real chashash of demai. It's not like the guy who's telling you, I'll give you a different price for cash. The taxi driver who says, I'll take you, but on cash. He's telling you, I want to cheat with your money. That's not the same.
Okay.
You can't compare. Okay? So that's, okay. So now.
Always go on the meter. Always.
So if it's like an issue that we're at a point where, if we're at an issue where it's like,
you'll know when
we're at this point where there is like a chashash.
Driving a
like what investigative matters?
No, I'm sorry. Let's finish this, and then you'll ask whatever other questions you have. I don't want to go into the tangent. I'm just saying why this isn't relevant to the tangent.
Okay.
Let's continue. So we have truma ma'aser rishon, truma's ma'aser from the ma'aser rishon, ma'aser sheni or ma'aser ani. Now you see that even though the whole prohibition is rabbinic, meaning Truma Meiser in the day of the Gemara was the same as today. So it's all Drabanan, and Chazal still make a special takana, I want you to be choshish, unless a person has certification that he's a chavre, that you can rely on him, he's an amaretz, you have to take off demai. Okay, so that's step two. Now let's go back to what happens today, but before we do that, we need to introduce a few more concepts. Let's go out into our garden. Okay, we'll start simply. We're going to grow our garden. We're going to grow wheat. So now the wheat's growing. We want to make matzahs. Matzahs are only kosher if the wheat is kosher, right? So I'm going to harvest the wheat, and after I clean it off and I make a pile in the silo, I'm going to take off trumos and maestros. Very clean, okay? Let's take something we're more familiar with. Wheat is a problematic example. Let's take the example of grapes, okay? So I'm growing grapes out in the yard. I have a whole bunch of grapevines. And now I'm going to pick those grapes. What happens if, as they're growing out in the yard, my kids are playing out in the yard, and there are grapes that fall over. The kids want to pick some grapes from the grapevine. So we're going to deal with this as Doraisa. Let's talk in the days of Yoshua ben Nun. Okay? Let's not deal with Drabanan right now. Let's first get a perspective of what life was like Doraisa, and then we'll move on to Drabanan. So we have a halacha that says, Biart Yakodesh min habayis, we derive from that pasuk that once the grain or the grape came into your house, you have to take off Trumas HaMa'aseros. But what happens before it came into your house? So we have two things we have to look at. Number one, step one, is Onas HaMa'aseros. Has it become ripe enough that I have a mitzvah of taking off Trumas HaMa'aseros? Meaning I walk out and I see the grapes starting to come onto the tree. I want to make a good dip for my pitas. And in those days, they used to make dips by taking little grapes that were not yet ripe, very sour. You grind them up. You have yourself a sour dip to dip your pita in. You eat your bread with sour dip, okay? So I want to make myself, that was the cream cheese of yesteryear, okay? I'm making myself the sour dip. I'm going to pick these grapes when they're still really small. Wait, do I take off Trumas HaMa'aseros? So we have concept number one called Onas HaMa'aseros. Something has to reach a stage of maturity, of ripeness, to be obligated to take off Trumas HaMa'aseros. And you have whole chapters of Mishnayos that describe different fruits, what level of ripeness they have to get to in order for Truma and Ma'aser to be relevant. Before they reach that level of ripeness, there's nothing to talk about. You can't take off Trumas HaMa'aseros. The fruit isn't relevant yet. So step one we have to achieve is a level of ripeness called Onas HaMa'aseros. That's a level of ripeness. What we're about to discuss is a mahalach that we generally go with in halacha. One day, as you learn the sugyas, you're going to hit a few Rashis and Tosfos that don't exactly jive with what we're saying. That's true, there's another shita out there. But this is the generally accepted shita, so this is the way we're going to go. But I'm just saying, yeah, this isn't like... not everyone agrees with everything we're saying here, but this is the mahalach that I think you have to go with. Yes?
On the issue of onus, if these little tiny grapes that make a sour dip, if that's a popular dish, why wouldn't that be called ready?
It's a good question.
Okay, let's leave it for now. Okay, you're not going to make wine, but hey, everybody's jarring it up and making jam. That's okay. Not sour jam out of it, so...
Let's leave it for now.
Why don't we just say no? They doctor wouldn't. That was only a bidyevet type of thing to do with these grapes.
Because I don't think we should go into it. No. You could say that. I'm not sure I would say that. I think that it's not a din in your machshava. I think it's a din doraisa, which goes into the shem of the pri, which is a totally different thing. So that's why I don't want to... Let's keep it simple so we understand what we're talking about. After we have a global understanding, we could go into details and start analyzing. But I want us to remain as focused as we can on the simple steps. Yeah.
What did you say that was called?
Onas HaMa'aseros. Onas HaMa'aseros is a level of ripeness that's enough to be obligated of Ma'aser. Now, it doesn't have to be completely ripe. For example, what's Onas HaMa'aseros for grapes? A third of their ripeness. And many, many fruits have that. The Mishnah lists Onas HaMa'aseros for many, many fruits. And it's generally assumed that the Onas HaMa'aseros that's listed for most of the fruits is a third of their ripeness. That's a general assumption. Okay? Now, so that's step one. Okay? What I just said isn't so accurate. No, I take that back. Onas HaMa'aseros remains to be defined. Next, we have another aspect, which is what I do with the fruit. If I didn't finish dealing with the fruit, they're not yet chayv and trumas HaMa'aseros, midoraisa. So that's gemar melacha. I have to finish what I'm doing with the fruit. What constitutes gemar melacha? So with grain, we have the classical example, miruach hakri. You smoothed out the top of the pile, so now you have your pile is finished and done with. So that's gemar melacha. So let's go back to our kids playing out in the yard. And they want to pick a grape and eat it. So the first question we have to ask is, did it reach Onas HaMa'aseros? Because if it's not yet ripe enough, no problem, kids. Eat as many sour grapes as you want. There's no chiv of Trumas HaMa'aseros. The second issue I have to deal with is when the grapes are more ripe. Kids are outside playing. They want to eat grapes. They want to eat pomegranates. They want to eat food that's ripe. So it's already ripe enough that it's Onas HaMa'aseros. And now we have a question of Gemar Melacha. If I didn't have Gemar Melacha yet, I didn't finish dealing with it, so I'm for sure allowed to eat from it Achilas Arai. I can eat from it any eating that's temporary.
What do you say it needs to be finished being dealt with?
Exactly. Ready for either use of the home or sale. One or the other.
So turn a grape into a jam then or whatever then?
No, most people don't turn into a jam. By grapes that are taken to be eaten, so that's usually you have a pile of grapes in your basket, you're ready to bring it home. Okay. Grapes that are taken for wine, that's a good question. When would be Gmar Melachtam?
Just gnashing on them, once they're in the basket, then it's already...
So wait, we'll get there. 1 second.
Is that not what we just said, though?
No. What we just said is that there's Gmar Melacha, and before Gmar Melacha, you can for sure eat Achilas Arai. So, if you're walking around the field, and you want to pick a grape and eat it, pick another grape and eat it, pick another grape and eat it, you're fine.
Okay.
In a second, that's the next step. We'll get there in 1 second. So,
Achilas Arai is also...
So by definition, again, I'm allowed to eat from it before Onos Maestros because it's not relevant to Maestro yet. It's not yet ripe enough. After Onos Maestros, before Gmar Melacha, I'm allowed to eat Achilas Arai. Achilas Arai includes feeding animals. Okay, that's Achilas Arai.
What is Achilas Arai?
Eating a temporary eating. Temporary. Eating something that's not... Oh. fixed.
Arai,
it's not...
Like a Toshav Arai is like a temporary resident.
What's temporary eating, compared to...
In a second, we'll define that. In 1 second. Now, here's where we start having machlokes rishonim, and we'll go the simple route. What happens when I pick the fruit off the tree? Let's take a case of apples. I put the apples in the basket. They're ready to be brought home. So I finished Gmar Melachtam. It's not like I'm going to have a silo filled of apples, right? That I'm not going to do. I'm going to fill a basket. I'm going to fill a crate. So now I have onus... Meiser, they're ripe. I have Gmar Melacha. I finished. I'm ready to bring them home. So now I'm still allowed to eat from them, Achilas Arai. I can still eat from them a temporary eating. If I want to slice off a piece of an apple and eat it, fine. And now I come to the next question.
Can you eat a whole apple, you're saying?
I didn't say Bechavana. Let's wait.
Right,
I bedavka said slice an apple. Very good. Let's wait one more second. So after Gmar Melacha, I'm allowed to eat Achilas Arai. Okay, now, what happens if I'm going to say, okay, I'm eating Achilas Arai. This isn't serious. I make a bonfire, and I take, I slice an onion, I slice an apple, I start roasting it over the fire. So then the halacha comes and says, wait a second, who are you kidding? This isn't Arai. You're already roasting it. You're making a big deal out of this. You say, hey, I'm just gnashing on the grapes. I'm just gnashing on the olives. But I'm going to sit and take this olive and let it sit in salt for 15, 20 minutes to pickle it. And then I'm going to eat it. So then the halacha says, no. That, you can't call that Arai. A guy says, I'm just taking it home, but it's Achilas Arai. No, what are you doing? You brought it home. That's not Arai. You brought it home. I'm just taking this grape to eat on Shabbos. This grape is going to be my Shabbos dessert. I don't care. What do you mean, Shabbos? You know what? I want to sell it to my neighbor. I'm going to take a few grapes, or I'm going to take a grape, half an apple, sell it to my neighbor. So anyone, we have six things that the halacha says are koveya. What that means is, once you did one of those six, you can't tell me that this is considered eating it arai. What are those? Let's see. Bring it home. That's written in the Torah. Cooking it. Salting it. Selling it. What else? What didn't we cover yet? We said bring it into your home. What?
Selling it, you said.
No. Selling it, we said. 1 second. We said melicha. Mecher. Bishul, Kavosh. I'm missing two. 1 second. No. If you took off Truma Gedola, then obviously.
And Shabbos, right.
We said Shabbos, right. Those are the six things. If you did any one of those six, we said that's Koveya, meaning that already makes it that the halacha is not willing to look at this like you're just fly by eating.
Saving it and saving it for Shabbos are two different things.
If you brought it, if Shabbos passed over it, you brought it for Shabbos, we say your Shabbos meal is a serious meal. Even if you're eating one grape, you can't tell me that grape is not keva. For Shabbos, it's kavua. So we say there are six things that are kovea, which, in other words, that means you can no longer say, I'm eating achil sarai, I don't have to take off trumas and maestros. Once any one of those six things happened, you have to take off trumas and maestros, and then you can eat. So far, we're all together? Okay. We'll pause, get ready for Ma'ariv, and I just have one